All right, looks like everyone can see the new Fulbright logo and can hear me well. So, yeah, if you have any technical issues throughout the presentation, if you lose the sound or the image, please chat in the box. We'll try to follow that carefully so that we make sure to fix that immediately. Once again, thank you all for your interest in the Fulbright program. So, today we're going to cover the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program Hidden Gems in Europe and Eurasia. So, my name is Aphrodita Krasnici. I'm the Outreach and Recruitment Officer working for the Institute of International Education based in New York City. So, welcome everyone, and it's a pleasure for me to host you today and to talk about these wonderful opportunities we have in Europe and Eurasia. So over the course of the presentation, we will introduce you to the hidden gems in Europe and Eurasia, and also we'll try to answer as many as questions as possible. So you're welcome to ask throughout the presentation in the chat box, and we will leave some time, like 15 minutes at the end, to answer your questions. So hopefully that will be all right with you. And again, I'm probably working closely with many of you, and if you have any follow-up questions and we were not able to answer, because just to be mindful, we have high volume of inquiries and phone calls and requests for so many questions. So please reach out to us at our email, europeeurasia@iie.org. So we're going to start talking about these wonderful opportunities. But before we do that, I want to take the time to talk about the mission and the legacy of the Fulbright program. It is the United States government's flagship international educational and cultural exchange program. The global network of Fulbrighters fosters mutual understanding between the United States and it is running in 160 countries worldwide. The aim is to advance knowledge across communities and improve lives around the globe. It was established in 1946 by Congress. The Fulbright program offers opportunities for passionate and accomplished scholars and professionals of all backgrounds. Fulbright scholars study, teach, conduct research, and help find solutions to shared international concerns. It is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. The Fulbright program is administered in close collaboration with U.S. embassies and also Fulbright commissions. These are binational commissions that manage the program on the ground. And here in the United States, it is administered by the Institute of International Education, which is the cooperating agency that I work for. We administer the program on behalf of the State Department and Fulbright Commission. So the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program operates in over 130 countries worldwide, and its alumni include 86 Pulitzer Prize winners and 60 Nobel Prize laureates. So that's a great network to be part of. So just wanted to talk a little bit about the history, because it's always important to keep this in mind as you craft your application. And how are you going to contribute to this mission of fostering mutual understanding between the U.S. and this country that you're planning to apply to? So going further, I'm going to also highlight the following regarding diversity and inclusion. This also includes veterans. Candidates who have served in the armed forces of the United States will be given preference, provided their qualifications are approximately equivalent to those of other candidates. Alumni can be a terrific resource. So, you know, we're going to talk about that later on as well, but before we do that, we're going to talk about the eligibility for U.S. scholar programs. The requirement that, you know, are important for being eligible as a Fulbrighter, first of all, you need to be a U.S. citizen. Then the degree as required by the award. So probably you have noticed that so many awards are different, they're unique, and the requirements vary. Some will require PhD or terminal degree. And then some other awards are open to applicants with a master and professional or open to professionals who have extensive experience. We do have opportunities also for artists and professionals outside the academia, so you just have to pay close attention to that requirement in each of the award descriptions. Teaching depends. Every award is different. Some specify how many years of experience one has to have in order to be a strong applicant. And then there are new policies on previous Fulbright scholars. You have to wait 2 years from the time you completed your last Fulbright until the time you are eligible for another Fulbright. So usually preference will be given to those applicants who have not had a Fulbright before. However, if you are a returning Fulbrighter, you want to apply again, you just have to provide sufficient justification to how did this previous experience help you on the new experience that you're planning to apply as part of the Fulbright. So just, you know, being mindful of that. The other important thing to keep in mind is how to select the right award. Basically, the catalog is the first place you go when you look when considering your application. At least where you're thinking about where you want to go and what you want to do. These awards have dense information where they describe the grant activity, the parameters of the grant, the qualifications necessary, and other details. So just, you know, try to read through the award description. And then you will be able to see if you match this award and if you are a strong applicant for this particular opportunity. If you have regional experience, if you speak the local language, that helps you because you could be prepared to serve as a great cultural ambassador in the country. Most of the awards in Europe do not require the local language. So as long as, you know, your project is feasible and you can do the research, you can accomplish your research or your project or your teaching in the local language, depending on what the host institution's needs are, language is not required, but of course you should always discuss this with the host. Then check for the preferred disciplines. Each award, if not like most of the awards, even those that have all disciplines or like open-ended awards, they do have sometimes some preferred disciplines. And then if your discipline is listed in the award that you're interested to apply to, then you will be at an advantage. Why is the project important to the country? How are they going to benefit from this? And how is the host institution in particular going to benefit from this? These are all the questions that I'm raising so you can reflect and you should address these in your application. Then consider the career level. Some awards are open to only senior level of scholars, and then some awards are also open to early career, you know, all level of scholars, including early career. Some are just postdoc opportunities. Then we do have, for more accomplished scholars, the Distinguished Chair Awards, which require to have at least 10 years of teaching and research and a long list of publications and accomplishments. All right, moving forward to the next slide, now we're going to dive deep into the Europe and Eurasia region, which is the largest regional program we have in the Fulbright US Scholar Program. They do offer amazing opportunities. We have over 260 awards that are offered in 44 countries in Europe and Eurasia. So, you know, today we're going to showcase only 10% of the opportunities in Europe and Eurasia because we just wanted to show you some of the opportunities that are sometimes overlooked. And you might not be aware of these opportunities and you could be a great fit for them. So, you know, we want to highlight those and just give you these wonderful information, but also keep in mind again that there are like 260 awards, and it's not just these opportunities we are highlighting. And we do have amazing awards in the Fulbright program from Iceland to Azerbaijan, and then there are no way, there's a quote here, there's no way to know before you start a project where it will end, but I never imagined my research would take the shape it had. So this is just one quote of a Fulbrighter who went to Europe and a few years ago. First, I want to give you a little bit of information about the hidden gems in Western Europe. So I mentioned earlier there are opportunities for artists, there are opportunities for academics. So I wanted to start with this nice award, which gives opportunities for academics and also artists. It's a Fulbright Award in Performing Arts at the Polytechnic of Lisbon. And it is a combination of teaching and research in development of music performance, composition, and also jazz music technologies. You would be helping in the developing of the course syllabi. So it is open more to senior level of scholars, and they do not accept applications from early career scholars. And a letter of invitation is preferred. So, you know, it's always good when the letter of invitation is either preferred, strongly preferred, or required that you reach out to the host and do it as soon as possible because, you know, summer has started in Europe and the academics or the your colleagues there are probably on vacations and they do not check email so often. So I would recommend you do that immediately if you haven't done so. And then from the arts, I'm going to take you to Spain to this wonderful discipline, unique discipline in engineering. It's teaching and research in aerospace engineering, and you can teach courses at the undergrad level or just engineering at the grad level. It's open to academics and professionals as well, PhDs required. So this is at Universidad Europa de Madrid, and open to, again, all level of scholars, but not the early career. This year we have new opportunities in cybersecurity. So it's a new thing, and it's trending also worldwide. UK offers the Fulbright Cybersecurity Award, and this is the only open-ended award that you can affiliate in the UK with any institution of higher education, because all the other awards in the UK, as probably you've noticed, they have partnership awards, and you can only affiliate with that partner university that is listed on the award, except for this one and the Cancer Research Award that is also another great opportunity. So for the Cybersecurity Award, you can do research for 3 to 6 months at any higher education institution, and it's open to early career scholars as well and open to professionals. So PhD is not required for this one. Moving on to France, France has these regional awards, and they do offer also all different regional awards for the senior scholars, but also they do have this postdoc opportunity. It's a junior research only up to 12 months and a possibility to even extend for an additional year. They do welcome applications in all disciplines and welcoming only postdoc applicants, PhDs required, of course, and at least if the scholars have the at least experience of 18 months of professional experience. From France, we're going to move to Germany. They do have the All Disciplines Awards, but again, they would prefer applicants in communications, journalism, and political science, so more like contemporary issues and contemporary disciplines. They do offer the flex option, which is an opportunity to do multiple visits within the span of 2 years. So the flex option you can do from 2 to 4 months, and then you can go back and forth in the country for 2 years. PhD is required, and this is open to academics only. Another unique opportunity in Ireland is inclusive design and creative technology innovation, olfactory research, and this is a very interesting award. They do the olfactory research, and it is an art form that uses scent as a medium. So this research will be done at Smart Lab, which is an inclusive design research center of Ireland, and the disciplines that will be preferred is biology, psychology, or other related disciplines. I hope you like all these wonderful opportunities we are showcasing you today. And then moving on to Scandinavia, we do have these Distinguished Chair Awards in Finland. There is the Fulbright Bicentennial Chair. So a little bit historic information about this wonderful award that was established in 1976. To teach American history, culture, and language at the University of Helsinki. So this is the first chair award in the Fulbright Distinguished Chairs program. So then how this started, then it expanded to other countries who were also interested to use similar awards and just to give opportunities to more accomplished scholars. And this is one of the most prestigious awards in the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. Sweden has the Fulbright Lund University Chair in Public International Law. It was founded in 1666. The university is the largest site of higher education and research in the Nordic countries. So the disciplines are in human rights and humanitarian law. So you would be working on this discipline, and it's an opportunity to do teaching or research. Hidden gems in Central Europe. We'll start with Austria. Austria is the second largest country that offers the biggest number of awards in Europe, in Eurasia, after the United Kingdom. So the one award that we wanted to highlight it today is with the Vienna University of Economics and Business. It's a teaching or teaching research award, and the preferred disciplines of business administration, communication, economics, etc. Most of the awards in Austria have the letter of invitation as optional. And for this particular award, PhD is required. So again, if the letter of invitation is optional, you don't need to get it. But if you're in touch with the host institution in the country, I would recommend that you get the letter of invitation. It's just that you want to also get the endorsement from the host institution that will help you in your application. Another amazing country in the Central Europe is Hungary. They also offer a lot of awards, amazing opportunities. This one is highlighting applications in the math, and they offer two grants for this, and they welcome also early career scholars, academics only. So if you are in the math discipline, then this is one great opportunity. I talked about cybersecurity early in the UK, and Poland has this new opportunity this year in doing teaching or a combination of teaching and research for 3 to 5 months in the cybersecurity and all other related disciplines listed here. So if you know, or if you are interested, or you know someone who would like to conduct this activity in cybersecurity or media literacy in Poland, feel free to consider this, and also PhD is not required for this. Moving on to a unique award we have in Belgium with NATO Security Studies. This is an exciting opportunity to work with NATO on transatlantic security studies at a European university or think tank. So this is open to all level of scholars, including early career. letter of invitation is strongly preferred. So you want to definitely reach out to the institutions and get the letter of invitation when it is strongly preferred. Italy has the amazing opportunity in sciences and technology. It's co-funded by Fondazione Con il Sud, and then you can affiliate with any institution in Italy, any institution of higher education in Italy. It's a PhD or a terminal degree is required, an opportunity for 5 to 6 months, and you can arrange the dates with the host institution. The local language is needed to conduct the activities, so you need to make sure that the host will be okay if you conduct your activities, teaching or research in English. And then if you need to reach out to an audience that does not speak English, the host institution should support you with translation or interpretation when needed. Czech Republic has this award in NGO management. It's called the Masaryk Award. It's a teaching or a combination of both teaching and research in the listed disciplines, and PhD is not required. So if you do work in NGO management and then related to these disciplines, this is a great opportunity for you. Sorry about this, moving back and forth. We're going to Southeast Europe now, to Albania. They are offering this year a new, brand new award in gender studies, and I can say this is the only award in all of the awards that we offer worldwide that has a focus and has a title on gender studies. So way to go, Albania. And it's a great opportunity to do teaching or a combination of teaching and research, open to all level of scholars, and applications in social work and gender studies are preferred. The applicant would be affiliating with a public university, University of Tirana, which is the capital of Albania, and it is a great opportunity to pursue. Bulgaria has the All Discipline Award, which lists some of the preferred disciplines, and PhD is not required for this one. So they do also offer the flex option, and if you're considering this, definitely, you know, check the flex option. It might be convenient for those applicants who cannot take leave of absence or cannot take a sabbatical for that time. Kosovo has a unique opportunity to serve as a professional consultant in higher education, working directly with the Minister of Education on higher education policies. They welcome also professionals who have background in higher education policies, and this is a great opportunity to serve in a country that is considered one of the most pro-American countries in Europe, or at least in Southeast Europe. So it's a great opportunity if you want to also pursue an opportunity in high profile, working with a minister directly. All right. There is this, moving on again, we have this trending discipline in cybersecurity, and Romania is also following that trend this year. They have this new opportunity in media literacy and cybersecurity. So they do offer the teaching or teaching research or just research, but the focus will be on the digital society, digital humanities, the new media, science, technology, and society, or cybersecurity. So it's not just the media literacy and cybersecurity. They do have also some sub-disciplines within that. Slovenia, even though, they claim it's an old discipline, they do have preference for some applications in the listed disciplines here. So PhD is required, and they welcome all level of scholars, including early career. Slovak Republic has an award in economics, and this just shows the diversity of all of our awards in the Fulbright program. So this opportunity is also for teaching or research, and it's a combination in business administration, economics, and public administration. So also, I just want to confirm that everybody can hear me and you're following me, because I saw some comments that somebody cannot hear me, so I just wanted to make sure that you're following me and we're all okay in terms of sound. Okay, thank you so much for confirming that. Yeah, I know it's the mid-afternoon and probably everybody's busy to wrap up the day, and I appreciate your patience and attention to this. So Slovak Republic, as I was mentioning, this is a great opportunity in economics. If you're interested in economics in this part of the world, this is a great opportunity to pursue, and they do welcome also early career applicants. Moving on to Eurasia, in Moldova, we do have this teaching grant. It's a 5-month or a 1-semester grant, or then again, they do have a 2-semester grant available. Flex option is also available, and they will select this year up to 4 people to attend this opportunity. They are opening this up. It's an open-ended award and open to all level of scholars, including early career. PhD is not required, so some countries are really flexible. They're not very strict in terms of requirements. They really want to see a diverse pool of applicants. Going to Russia, they do have several awards, but the one I wanted to highlight is the Science and Innovation, which, you know, accepts all level of scholars. It's an opportunity to do 1 semester or 2 semester, depending, you know, how you can get the visa, because there is additional logistical support that is needed as part of this collaboration. And PhD is required for this wonderful opportunity. Ukraine has the economics and or business administration opportunity. So if you are coming from this background and you are, you know, more senior level of scholar, you're welcome to apply. So they are flexible on the number of grants they give each year. So it will depend, again, this year, their support. Now let's talk about the application components. What does it take for you to start the application? Let's say you've decided on your award, you got the letter of invitation, you are on a right track to your application. Now let's start with the online application form, which is an online, very user-friendly application. You just start filling out your information, and then we also provide technical support if you run into any glitches or you have any issues with it. So then as part of the application form, all the other components that we're going to discuss, from project statement and the other components, you need to upload them as a Word document or as a PDF. So project statement is required, your resume, most updated resume, and make sure that you update this according to what is needed in this award or what the country requires. So you want to highlight those things that show that you are a strong applicant. And there are 3 letters of references required. One should come from your home institution. Usually it's the head of the department, or it's the dean, or someone who can attest of your teaching abilities and research you've done. And then the second one can come from a Fulbright alum, if you know of one. And then the third one, you can identify an international scholar that you worked before with, and just to see how well you work with other cultures. But make sure that the same person who issues the letter of invitation is not issuing you a letter of reference, because that is not acceptable. And then you just register these referees online on your application, and then the system will send them the an email and just ask them to fill this out on your behalf. And these are confidential, you don't see them, and they, but you can track the progress of your letters of references, so you can always check if it's been submitted. And then you are expected to submit your application completed, including the letters of references, so that, you know, make sure that then after the deadline, you're not missing any piece of the application. Additional component, depending, of course, on the award, if you're applying for teaching, you need to attach the course outlines or syllabi. If you're applying for research, your bibliography. Basically, this is the list of resources you're going to use for your research. The language proficiency report, only when it is required, so it depends. Sometimes it's like self-evaluation, you just fill it out yourself, or if you are a native speaker, or if you need to get a report from an instructor, then you again register them as you did your referees, and then the system will send on a notification to your registered language evaluator, and they will fill it out on your behalf. The letter of invitation, when it is required, strongly preferred or preferred, should be added to your application. Remember, this is an endorsement you're getting from the host institution, so it's a collaboration, it's about relationship building, so the review panel has to see this other side as well. If you're in one of these disciplines, arts, architecture, writing, and journalism, you need to submit additional or supplementary materials. These are basically samples of your artwork so that they can review your artwork or your writing, or if you're an architect or a journalist, samples of your work, basically. Project statement. We just went through majority of the components, and I didn't go through the project statement in detail, but here's an opportunity for you to give as much detail as possible about, you know, why Fulbright, why this country, why this institution, why this organization. How, you know, what are you going to do as part of the Fulbright? If you're planning to teach, then what courses you plan to teach? If you use this teaching method or this teaching here in the U.S., you can explain that too. If you're adjusting to the needs of the host institution, that will enhance your application. So make sure you discuss this also with the host, that if they have specific requirements, if your teaching method is applicable in the hosting country, in the hosting institution. Because remember, it's not everything that is applicable here in the U.S. is not applicable in other countries. The impact and the outcomes from the grant, how is the host going to benefit from this experience, and your home institution, and you, if this is a personal and professional enrichment opportunities. So make sure you also indicate this in your project statement. And if you've lived abroad, you make sure you indicate that, because that kind of shows that you can adjust well to living in other countries and in other cultures. And if you've dealt with challenging situations and you were okay with that, that shows that you really can become a great cultural ambassador. So it's important to include all of these in project statements. And remember, we do provide project statement samples on our website, so you can look at those and see how they address them and how they, you know, explain these activities that they're doing, so you can get some inspiration from other Fulbrighters who did this. Affiliations and invitations. The host institution is listed on the catalog of the award, usually in the location. So when I'm going to show you also our website in a minute and see where to find all this information. when the host is not listed, is not identified, you cannot find any information on our catalog of awards, which could happen, then there are some other resources. Check with the international office on your campus. Check the Fulbright Scholar Directory. We do have that. It's a great resource for you to use, not just for identifying on what kind of institutions are available in the hosting countries, but also maybe you will know someone and there is a colleague there, and then you can just reach out to them and get their feedback. It's important that you share your project statement with a colleague, maybe with a Fulbrighter, and then just make sure that they give you some additional feedback, and that will help you build a strong application and strong proposal. Sometimes there are some awards that offer some suggested hosts or resources, so make sure you check those too. Like sometimes there are links for ministries of education, which are equivalent to here Department of Education. And then sometimes they would list, the education clusters or the list of institutions, etc. Letter of invitation is not like a contract, even though it could be a great letter of invitation. They are showing great support for you. It's not a guarantee that you will get a Fulbright, so just so that you're kind of prepared for this and to meet the expectations. And it should come from the person that you will be collaborating, and it should be on their letterhead, signed and scanned, and just email it to you. So they don't need to mail it to you. Just email it, fine, and then you will attach it to your application. How do you submit a competitive application? This is like the most frequently asked question we get. First, address the Fulbright goal of promoting and fostering mutual understanding. We mentioned this in the beginning in the history of the Fulbright. You can do this by, connecting with the communities, connecting with your professionals. There's so many ways you're promoting mutual understanding, but you just have to find that specific information and just explain that in your application. Why Fulbright? Why are you interested in the country? It has to be country-specific. So why do you need to leave the U.S. to do this teaching or research, you have to provide some justification for that. What are some of the unique skills that you're offering, and how will the host benefit from them? Remember, it's an exchange of knowledge and experience between you and your colleagues abroad. So they're learning from you, you're learning from them. So it's a great opportunity to do this. Remember how we mentioned so many times how you're going to serve as a cultural ambassador. This is part of cultural diplomacy or soft diplomacy. You have to be very flexible. You have to adjust well to living abroad. So if you've done this in your career, then you're prepared for a Fulbright. Fulbright is unique like no other education or academic opportunity. You have to be a visionary for your Fulbright program. So what after Fulbright? How are you going to use this experience when you return home with your students or the community? Are you opening doors for more collaborations? This is what happens as part of the Fulbright. I've seen this over and over again, where people go to a country as part of the Fulbright and then they go back again, or they invite their professionals here and they continue the dialogue for many years to come. And will this help make your campus more international, and will it enrich your curriculum? So this is some of the things you're expected to address in your application in order to be competitive. Now, let's say you completed your application successfully. On September 16 is the deadline where you should submit. Don't wait until September 16 to submit it, obviously, because probably, many people think, oh, it's enough time, I'm going to leave it for the last week. But if you have your application somewhat ready and ready to submit, try to submit it at least like the first week of September. If you have any issues, just let us know. After you submit your complete application as part of the Fulbright US Scholar Program, up to the deadline, we will review your applications individually to make sure that it's technically complete. Like if you're missing a letter of invitation, if you're missing a letter of reference, or et cetera, we will go back to you and say, hey, you have 2 more weeks, please complete this or send it to us, and then we will upload it on your behalf to the application. So this way, we want to really give you a chance to complete it technically in order for the U.S. peer review to review it, because those applications that are technically complete will be reviewed. Those that are not technically complete will not be even considered. So from this October to November, the U.S. Committee here in the U.S. will convene, and these are former Fulbrighters who have done a Fulbright in their career and do this voluntarily. They will review your applications, and we should let you know by November, at least beginning of December, if you pass this stage. Those who pass the first stage, we will let you know regardless if you pass it or not, so that you know where you stand. Those who pass the first stage, then their applications are processed further to the hosting countries. And the hosting countries, depending whether it's managed by the U.S. Embassy or the Fulbright Commissions, they will review the applications from January till April. And then sometimes at the end of April, beginning of May, no later than that, we will let you know if you pass this second stage. Those who pass and those who are in the final recommendation pool, their application will be sent to for approval to the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board that oversees the Fulbright program. And if you're finally selected in May, you should know, and then those who are selected, prepare for grants and for exciting year ahead. So the grants for Europe will start depending if you do the fall or spring semester, but tentatively most of them will start in the fall of 2020 or spring of 2021. So I also recommend that you register for My Fulbright, which is the CIS2.org, where you stay connected with us. And then you can email us, europeeurasia@iie.org, with any follow-up questions. If we were not able to answer them today, you can visit our blog to see and learn more about what Fulbrighters did and how to get inspired. But also, we're soon posting a blog about 9 tips how to create a successful application. Visit our website to learn more, and also you can refer your colleagues. We're very active on social media, and if you are also active, you can follow us on one of these sites and then just learn more about what's going on in the Fulbright world. We will also send you a follow-up message with resources and this PowerPoint presentation and the recording as soon as we post it on our website. So thank you again for your attention. And now I would like to also show you our website just to learn, like, we want to show you our website so that one second, we're having some technical issues here. Okay, so trying to open the website, and then I'll just show you the website briefly, and then we can take some questions. Confirm if you can see the website, and probably if you're started a Fulbright application, you're very familiar with CIS.org is our website, and here is, you can explore our website. We have resources and information about webinars and recommendations about how to get letters of invitations, letters of recommendations, etc. So here is the most important part of the website, the Browse the Awards Catalog. And you can see here the all awards, and you can filter them by the region, by the country area, by if there are multi-country awards, disciplines, activities, grant length, degree requirement, category, professional profile, and invitation letter. So you can just filter those. As you see here, we have 470 awards in all world regions. But if we want to look for Europe and Eurasia only, we just click this region, and then 269 awards can be found alphabetically listed. So let's say we discussed earlier about Albania gender studies. Just wanted to show you, for example, how this appears on your end when you are just reading the award page. It's important to read it carefully. The grant activities that you're expected to do are found here in the grant activity. And make sure that you know, you follow this closely, because the application should match the grant length. Your activities should be for 4 to 5 months. If it's less or more, it's not competitive. The grant date should be within the suggested date. There's no discussion about other dates. The location is found here. Many awards do provide even contact information for the head of the department, for example, in this case, and then you can just reach out for the letter of invitation immediately. This one does not offer flex option, and then they do have these preferred disciplines listed. Going up, make sure you check the award requirements, where you find more information about whether the letter is required or not. Language requirements, professional profile of the applicant, and additional information is found here. Very useful information, helpful links. They will list the university links, so you can check it, and in many cases you can just translate it into English. They do have English versions available, so you learn more about what they do and whether you could be a good fit. Award benefits on the third tab, this is quite a generous award. Every country has different stipends that they offer, but in general, the Southeast Europe is very generous. They offer these stipends, monthly stipends, and considering that the living standard there, for example, in Albania, is not very high, so that's why I'm saying it's generous. But then you would have, in some cases, they would offer also stipends or some funding for the dependents. Here, this country may offer on a limited basis depending, but many awards, they will list this clearly if they fund your family members to come and travel with you. And the last tab that is very important, also country area overview, I always recommend that you check also this part, and then you check the U.S. Embassy website. Is listed here because remember, this is funded by the U.S. government, so you want to also see the impartial view of the U.S. government on this country. And wherever we have the Fulbright running, there should be a U.S. embassy or a consulate also running, and they work on updating this information on their website on day-to-day basis. So make sure you check what they do on your specific topic in this country, and how important is this for this country. Other information listed on the right-hand side here, the how many people will be selected is the number of grants. So one person will be selected. What kind of activities? They do welcome all level of scholars, including early career, PhD requirements, application deadline, and then here's the program staff. So for Europe and Eurasia, I'm the person in charge for outreach and recruitment. So if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to schedule a phone call with me or just send me an email. I make sure to get to you within 24 hours after you submitted your question. Additional information, apply now button takes you to the application, but this part is very important, application guidelines, where it should take you to the application and then this instruction over here is I want you to download this and save it or print it and then just follow this. It's like a checklist from A to Z what you need to do to make a very competitive application. We do also offer other resources for project statements and project statement samples that I mentioned earlier, and other information is found here. So hopefully this was useful. And I wanted to show you one more thing here on our website, the scholar directory, where you can filter the scholars using these advanced filters and then just look up for the country that you're planning to apply to and see if, you will get, you can reach out to the scholars. We do not provide their contacts, but for example, you can just, this was a non-US scholar, but you can filter them for US scholars. For example, this one here went to Germany, and then you just Google their name, you'll find them on the university site probably, and just see how their Fulbright application went and any tips they can share with you. That's helpful. Yeah, so this is all for our today's presentation. I know I went a little bit over my time, but I'm going to take the questions now. So let's see. First comes first. I see that there are not so many questions, so that's a good sign. Probably we've covered the materials that you need to start your application and have a successful one. So somebody's asking about the email address that you can contact us is europeeurasia@iie.org. How do I find out if a university is accredited? So basically, you can just see or ask them if they're a locally accredited university. Or if you're not sure, you can, again, check with us, and we'll make sure to check with the Fulbright Commission or the U.S. Embassy, depending on the country you're applying to. The other question is, am I supposed to determine the content of what I will teach, and should it be made up by me or consulting with the university faculty? So they're leaving it up to me. I need to know how many courses I should teach and how long the courses are. So basically, this is something now between you and the host, because remember, you're building relationship with this country, and this is you as a cultural ambassador. Even before you are selected as a Fulbrighter, you are doing this. You're negotiating. You are adjusting to their needs. So check what are their needs. What's the capacity, how much, how many courses they want, and then you can just plan it that way. So, and then make sure you indicate this in your project statement that in discussion with the host, we've come to the conclusion that I'm going to teach this many courses and they will last this long, because that just indicates that you went out and then reached out to them and then, you know, were open and flexible and could potentially be a great cultural ambassador. So another question about the flex option, does the flex offer specific funding for flex options, or there are only some countries that offer this flex option and only some awards. So make sure your award that you're applying is offering the flex option, and if yes, they will do complete or full funding of the tickets, the travel, accommodation for as many times as you need to travel. So also the timeline needs to be discussed with the host, so make sure you also discuss with the host if that's convenient for them, how many times you're planning to travel, etc. Okay. So the other questions that I'm going to take is, do we have a program in Belarus? Yes, we do have a program running in Belarus. And so it's all disciplines again, and you want to check that out on our catalog of awards. If the letter of invitation is optional, does it help your application to have one? It would help. So I recommend if you can get it, do get it, because that you just want to get that support from the host. What are some of the good strategies to determine needs and interests of host institutions? So basically, you will have a conversation with them. Usually, scholars do or applicants do Skype calls with them, and you can also check their website. First of all, research their website. Research, you know, what's been done in the past. If you can find a Fulbright scholar that went to this particular institution, check what they did, and maybe you can reach out to the scholar as well to learn more about what are their needs in the country. But usually you would get this from the host institution, from a colleague that you've established relationship. So we do have the Fulbright US student program for students, so I recommend that you check our website for the Fulbright US student program, because I have a question about that. So I have a question about the letter of support from my institution. So my program chair for the major I teach in moved to another institution. My department chair passed away. In the letter comes from my program chair who left. Does it still count as a home institution letter? Yes. So you need to also explain this, you know, and the recommender needs to explain this because, yeah, obviously you need to get a letter from someone who knows your work and your teaching. Okay. So I have been a Fulbright specialist and my designation ended in December 2018. Yeah, you're totally fine. The Fulbright specialist program does not affect the two-year regulation for the scholar. So you can apply at the same time for the specialist and the scholar program. However, if you're selected in the specialist roster, because that's a different program for the audience that is not aware of the Fulbright specialist program, that's a different application altogether. And it's managed by another organization called World Learning. It's a short term, after 5 weeks, opportunity to teach or serve as a specialist in a hosting country. But that does not affect the scholar. Only if you're selected for both, maybe specialist and the scholar, you just cannot do the same program within the same academic year. You can apply to be a Fulbright scholar, yes, if you applied for the specialist. If a Fulbright award has teaching research, and research only listed as activity option, is there equal preference for any of those activities? There is no equal preference, and they will be evaluated the same. It all depends on your project and what makes more sense for you. If you can provide teaching only and that's what makes sense for you, then go for that. So it's totally up to the applicant to choose which of these activities they want to pursue. How do you view retired professors' applications compared to the others? So basically, the Fulbright US Scholar Program does not discriminate. They welcome also retired applicants. And we've had many cases when the retired or applicants also applied and were selected. It's just that, you know, of course you want to give information about the impact that you will have upon returning from the Fulbright if you're selected. Who is going to benefit from this experience? How are you going to share this experience with the community? Or in many cases, many of the retired scholars, they still continue to work. So you want to just, you know, provide that information in order to understand that there will be an impact. For the teaching positions, do you need to have any teaching experience? Again, it depends. Sometimes they will specify how many years of teaching experience, so it depends on the award. But yes, you should have teaching experience, but then it depends on how many years they're looking for. Can you please give more guidance about finding a letter of invitation? So the letter of invitation, basically, it would be just a cold calling. you reach out to the host institutions if they're listed there. If not, you just identify one potential collaborator and send them your resume, send them a summarized project idea, and tell them what you're planning to do in the country and see if there is an interest from their side. So if there is an interest, usually they will return your email within a week, and then you can continue the discussion. Do you have any more gems specifically in the field of music? Yes, there's so many awards that I mentioned earlier in Portugal, and then there is an arts residency in Austria. There are opportunities in other countries, in Bulgaria, in you know, in Hungary. So you can just explore our catalog of awards. You can just search for music, and wonderful opportunities will come up. Again, you can apply to only one award per application cycle. So why are the three letters of recommendation required? Aren't our academic credentials enough? This is just like, you know, when you're applying for a job that they require three letters of recommendation, but it's a bit different because for Fulbright, this is not a job. This is an exchange, academic exchange program. So they want to see the three sides of you. One is the what is home institution saying about you, and these are confidential, again. The second one is what a colleague is saying about you and your work, and also, as I mentioned earlier, if you work with an international collaborator, we want to see how well you work with other cultures. I've been a Fulbright specialist in my designation. Okay, so we answered that. That was a repeat. So how strategic should someone be in trying to match themselves with an award? For example, a lot of people apply to France, Spain, Germany. Are people better of applying to a hidden gem like Slovenia? Yes, that could be also a determining factor. But again, keep in mind Western European countries, of course, are more competitive because those are not very, let's say, challenging countries to live in, and people would prefer the comfort. However, there are all these countries that, like Slovenia, you mentioned, that's such a developed country. It's like, you know, living in Germany, it would be living in Slovenia, even though it was a former communist country, but also like Hungary or Slovak Republic and some other countries in Europe where, you know, or Kosovo, where it's like so pro-American, and then you just would feel so welcome. So you want to look at these other factors also personally, how would you benefit? And then you also want to make yourself competitive as an applicant. How is, you know, why this specific country? Maybe they're offering something specific in France or, let's say, in Slovak Republic that would interest you so much to conduct research there. And it's only this kind of institution that is offering you that. So in those cases, that's how you would make this very country-specific. So I hope that answers your question. So if there is no contact for the award, then you just basically write out to the head of the department of that university or faculty members and just reach out to them. If you're a peer reviewer, how long a gap before you can apply for grants? So if you reviewed last year, like last December, then you cannot apply for this application cycle, so you have to wait until next year. I was designed designated as an alternate candidate, and if I'm not getting the award this time, should I prepare a new one? I would recommend so, and then we can schedule phone call advising, and I can advise you on how to kind of focus on maybe helping you improve your application from last time. Because the fact that you are designated as an alternate, that shows that you're a strong applicant. And I apologize that this is lasting over an hour, and I know you're all busy. But we're wrapping up soon. I just want to get to all the questions, because these are amazing questions. That shows that you've done a lot of homework and that you are reading our website and going through the catalog of awards. So Basically, can an individual artist be a good host? It depends. Just like for, many, many questions that we get for Fulbright, it depends. For every question, there is like a specific situation. So it depends on what country. For example, the art residency that I mentioned earlier in Austria, they do have listed partners and institutions that you can affiliate with. In many cases, they would want you to affiliate with an institution, not with an individual. So, because this should be an exchange of opportunities between you and this institution and not just the individual. Okay. So the host institution, should it be an academic institution, or it can be a center that operates for a particular population group? So again, it depends, but it's important to keep in mind it has to be an institution of higher education or a research center, as long as it is accredited in the country. It's not international organization like the UN or some other international organizations in the countries, or it cannot be for profit. They will not use your experience as in the Fulbright for profit. There is another great question for candidates who have not recently spent considerable time in the country are preferred. What is a considered recent and considerable amount of time? So recently, like let's say in the last 2 or 3 years, and if you spend a year there, then they would really want to give opportunities to others who have not had this opportunity. But also there is an eligibility requirement for applicants who have spent the 5 years within the last 6 years, recent 6 years, are not eligible to apply in that country or in the Fulbright program. Because remember, you are we're measuring the impact of the Fulbright program once you return in the U.S. Who is going to benefit from this? And if you're constantly traveling abroad and you're not coming home to give back to the community, to give back to your home institution, then they will not consider that this could be an eligible candidate. Okay, it seems like there are a lot of opportunities for STEM scholars and for artists who make art to perform, but not so many for hard humanities scholars, art historians, archaeologists, historians, philosophers. Yeah, we do have opportunities for archaeologists and for historians, and there are opportunities in the UK, in Spain, in France, in all over the Europe. It's just that today we just highlighted some of these opportunities, but you know, I invite you to look at our catalog of awards, and you can search by discipline and see what comes up. Okay. I think, and the last question that I'm going to take is, can you apply to two countries in Eurasia for the same academic year? You can apply to only one country unless otherwise specified. We do have these multiple country awards like Iceland and Greece or Greece and Spain, only for those. But unless it is specified, you cannot apply to two countries. Is it advantageous to have a relationship, previous relationship with the host university? I've been a guest speaker for the host university for the past 4 years during the summer. So, in this case, this would be an extensive experience in the country, and I would recommend that you, now it depends how long you stayed, you said during the summer, but you definitely want to explore some other countries and develop some great relationships with some other countries. All right. We do have also GEMS in public health in Ireland and some other countries, so you definitely want to explore them. And then Is the National Library a strong partnership, or should one look for a university? A National Library definitely is a strong partnership, but it depends on the country. They offer this discipline in library sciences, so you want to look that up too. So again, I thank you for your attention and time dedicated to the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program and dedicating your time to potentially becoming a Fulbright Cultural Ambassador, and I wish you all the best in your application. And again, reach out to us if you have any follow-up questions, europeeurasia@iie.org. It's been a pleasure discussing our hidden gems in Europe and Eurasia, and looking forward to hearing from you and receiving your applications. Have a wonderful rest of the day, and we'll be in touch. All the best to you. Bye-bye.